So those are the different kinds of sites prisoners might find themselves sent to. Many of the sites did not have nice weather, it's worth adding. Many in the north were next to water in places where it got very cold in the winter, so there was dampness that caused tremendous discomfort to the men who were held in those places. Many of those in the south were in low ground where fetid conditions and extremely hot weather in the summer took a tremendous toll on the Union soldiers who were sent to them. With the exception of Andersonville, which really stands by itself in terms of scale and the number of dead and so forth, conditions were roughly the same for many of the Confederate and federal prisoners. Now, some places had much lower rates of death than others, but it is possible to generalize about conditions in most of these prisons. Most had very poor sanitary arrangements, bad water, rampant disease, and it was common on both sides to have second or third echelon soldiers far from the best human material on each side who behaved quite brutally toward the prisoners in many cases. Food, shelter, and clothing were typically somewhat better in the north. Not markedly better, but somewhat better. Medical care was about the same north and south, except that because of the blockade, the south often ran short of medical supplies, as it did in his armies, in its armies as well. The death rate overall for northern prisoners held by the Confederacy was about 15.5%. 30,000 prisoners, plus or minus a few, died in Confederate captivity. 13,000 of them died at Andersonville. 26,000 Confederate prisoners died in northern captivity, just a shade more than 12%. So there's a bit higher death rate among Union prisoners than among Confederate prisoners. The lack of sufficient medicine and food in the South probably accounted for much of the difference in mortality rates. Now, the North, the Lost Cause writers actually had a point of sorts in saying that the North certainly could have fed and clothed Confederate prisoners much more humanely. I don't think anyone really would dispute that. The fact that the North didn't in some instances stemmed from either policy, official policy. Secretary of War Stanton, for example, on more than one occasion decreed that rations be cut for Southern soldiers held in Northern prisons. And at other times, he vetoed suggestions to build better shelter for Confederate prisoners. But either local circumstances, that is the nature of the local officers in charge, or directives from further up the chain of command, in some instances, led to poorer treatment for Confederate prisoners. Now, in the defense of Stanton and others, it's important for us to understand that they often acted on the basis of what they had heard the Confederacy was doing to Northern prisoners. They believed that calculated cruelty was taking place vis-a-vis the Northern prisoners in the South. They really did believe that. They weren't acting capriciously in a mean-spirited way. They believed that Northern soldiers were suffering terribly, and they believed that it was just that Confederate prisoners should suffer at least to a significant degree in the North. The prisoner of war problem didn't really reach a crisis stage until 1864. And the reason that it did not was because the prisoner exchange system worked very well in the earlier stages of the war. In July 1862, the governments agreed to a program of exchanging equal numbers of prisoners, with the surplus on one side to be paroled until officially exchanged, as I mentioned earlier. There was a scale, a table, if you like, of how this would work. A general would be worth so many privates and a colonel worth so many and on down the line, a one-for-one exchange for privates. But if you happen to have a couple of generals, you could redeem a lot of your infantrymen, for example. By the end of 1862, there were very few prisoners being held on either side. The agreement broke down in 1863 primarily for two reasons. The first was the Emancipation Proclamation and the appearance in Union armies of significant numbers of black soldiers. There's a great scene in the movie Glory where the black soldiers are drawn up. I think it's at night and probably in the rain. And Robert Gould Shaw, their colonel, comes out and reads from a paper that has Jefferson Davis's pronouncement on how black soldiers and their white officers will be treated if captured. And the gist of it is that the officers will be subject to execution and the black soldiers will not be treated as prisoners of war, but will be treated as runaway slaves and returned to the states to be dealt with accordingly.